Test 1, 2, 3. All right, let's all come in and find a seat. And as you find that seat, let's go ahead and stand up and let's greet each other with the love of the Lord. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this time that we have to worship you and to draw near to you. Lord, I just pray, God, that you will soften our hearts to you in your presence. Lord, acknowledging you for who you are. Lord, you're the great God. You're the great King of old, and you're the great King of our future as well, Lord. So, God, we respond to you right now, Lord, and I pray that our voices will be lifted up to you. Your goodness and who you are, Lord. Be magnified in this place. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sing, he's coming on the clouds. He's coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. To open up the gates, make way to set on the King of Kings. Our God who's come to save is here to set the captives free. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? And who can stop the Lord Almighty? And who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? And who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord?
Sing, our God.
Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. Oh. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. Oh, we live for You. Holy, there is no one like You. There is none beside You. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who You are and fill me with Your heart and lead me in Your love to those around me.
Sing worthy every song.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. Oh, we live for You. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. Oh, we live for You. Surely there is no one. There is none beside You. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who You are and fill me with Your heart and lead me in Your arms to those around me. Upon Your love, it is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in You alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon Your love. It is a foundation, I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your arms and those around you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. We thank you so much that our hope is found in you, Lord, that the trust that we put in you, Lord, is not placing a trust and having faith into something that is wavering, Lord, but rather, God, we are built upon the rock, and that's what we put our trust in, is you. Lord, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we thank you so much that even though our faith wavers sometimes, and Lord, we have doubts and we have struggles, God, you're faithful when we are faithless. And therefore, Lord, it is well with our souls because of what you've done and who you are and your character. God, may we continue to just place our trust in you and worship you for who you really are, Lord. God, if there's anybody here today, Lord, who's just struggling, not knowing if you're going to come through for them, Lord, not feeling your love, Lord, those who are hurting in here, Lord, I just pray, God, that you will break the chains, Lord, that keep them from you, Lord. You don't hide yourself from us, God. Lord, so often we hide ourselves from you. So, God, I just pray, Lord, that you will make yourself known in this place, Lord. Make your presence known to us, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Grander earth is quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are man. mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well. It is well. So let it go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and wind still know His name. So let it go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and wind still know His name. The waves and it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul.
God, we thank you so much for the promise and the hope that we have in you, Lord. We thank you for the many blessings that you've lavished upon us, Lord. And that being the most that you've called us to. sons and daughters of you. Lord, that we're part of your kingdom, not by what we have done, but by what you have established and what you've done on the cross for us. We thank you so much, Lord. As we get into your word, I pray that you will speak through Pastor Rich. Lord, may your words be his words. God, renew our hearts to you, Lord, and remind us of the truth of who we are in you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
I am so glad to see all of you, and just looking forward to a precious time in God's house together. I hope you're enjoying the cold weather, but I want you to know it still isn't like it was in New Hampshire. I'll just remind you of that. The high we experienced while we were there was 8 degrees, just so you know. Now, that was a heat, wonderful heat wave. Compared to the other days, but we are so glad you're here. Yesterday morning as I came in to the men's Bible study prayer breakfast, it was neat because out here, anyways, since we've been out here, I experienced my first freezing fog on my windshield and trying to make it here and well, but we didn't have that this morning, but just so glad you're here, and I pray things are going well for you. Just a couple of announcements that I'd like to make. First has to do around the men's prayer breakfast, and if you talk to some of the guys, I think they enjoyed it. Now, I overdid it in what I cooked, just so you know. There will be some men's prayer breakfast where we'll just have a continental breakfast, just so you know. We will vary what we get from time to time. We had a great time together. There are 20-plus of us, and we just had a sweet time. Fellowship around God's Word, it was very good. And it's never, ever, guys, too late to join us. Never. All right, so come on out. Life groups. Now, starting on the 8th, come and join us, if you will. I have a sign-up sheet, I think. That's supposed to be on the back table. I might have forgotten it. To be able to sign up to join the Moore family, they have graciously opened up their home. It is up near Calhan. It's about 15 minutes north of here off Ellicott Highway. And looking forward to just a special time. And again, what we will be doing is practically going through the weekly message. We'll be talking about how it applies to our lives in every stage of our lives, knowing that there are different stages and things like that. Marshall, do you mind standing up and kind of letting them know? This is Marshall Moore. It's their home that they're opening up. So if you have a question about where they live on Palomino Drive there, please come and join us. We always have volunteer needs. Now, I've realized something, that our webpage can be a little complicated concerning signing up for volunteering here. So if you got a little pen, you go to the RMC webpage, and you will have an icon that says serving. And if you click on that icon, below it will say volunteering. You'll click it, and you'll go to a page that will say something about volunteering, and it'll say volunteer now. You click it, all right, and then you'll get this open area, and at the top it will say campus, and you'll click it and push Ellicott if you desire to serve here. Now below it, the very next icon you click on, and this is where the mistakes come in, you see youth, you see this, men's ministry and things like that. You can't click on one of them yet. All right, there is an icon in there that also says Ellicott Campus. So you have to create Ellicott Campus twice to avoid looking at everything that RMC offers versus the 8 or 9 that we offer. And so if you hit that a second time down at the bottom, you'll see the different ministries where we need help. And we would love for you to get connected that way if you would like to be a part of it. Just make sure you do Ellicott Campus twice, and you'll be in the right area to be able to fill things out. And I'm so glad that if you would consider that. We need help in the children's ministry as well as worship and just all the different areas that we have. If you go on the main webpage, also we have the junior high and senior high retreats happening at RMC. All of our young people are welcome to that. And so if you would like to go on their winter retreat, go ahead and look on the main page and how to sign up and get there. I think one of them, if memory serves me right, and don't quote me, my memory is getting older or something. But anyways, I think it's $120 and so to be able to go, which is very, very inexpensive. They sometimes offer scholarship money as well. With that being said, in the next probably 6 to 8 weeks, we'll be starting our own youth twice a month. And RJ, if you would please, Sam, you know, so if you haven't had a chance to give him your email address and want to know the exact date that our youth ministry is going to start here, he will know by the end of the week and be able to email people and give people an update, right? Okay, so just kind of let him know. We are also looking for other volunteers within that ministry, you know, to help RJ and them who are going to be leading it. Wow. God's Word. Isn't it a unique book? Just think about it. Something that God brought to pass over thousands of years, and yet its message is so consistent. It constantly, from the Old Testament, by the time you get in Genesis chapter 3, starts pointing towards Christ. And the reality, because we are sinners, that Christ needed to come. They did not know what that would look like when he finally does arrive. And we know that even many of the disciples was looking for a military leader kind of thing that was going to lead and free Judaism from all of the oppression. And at that time, it was the Roman Empire. But that they would be set free in that way, rather than the eternal thought of being set free in a walk of faith through him and having our sins completely forgiven through his shed blood. The unique, wonderful thing, as we looked at this last week, is this is all about relationship. He yearns to... His heart's delight, his heart's love would be for every single one of us to have this dynamic, wonderful, intimate relationship with him. We ended with verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 1 where it says, you and I who have trusted Christ as our Savior, we've recognized we're a sinner, we've repented, God forgive us, and I trust your Son alone as my personal Lord and Savior. And we believe that in our heart. That moment we do that, we are set free. And we have salvation. And we are his child. We have a true identity. Children of the Most High God. And we're going to see how he wants to build on that beautiful truth, how we are truly cherished by God in this personal relationship, so much so that he willingly gives us his Spirit. I was reading an article recently And Carnegie Mellon in Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, did the research. And the research came out in the American Psychologist about how lonely Americans are getting. Now, we live in a free world, free country, and we have so many freedoms. And they went on to say it is because of the social media. Oddly enough, they found that the more time you spend before your computer, whether it's Facebook and all those good things. Now, I'm not condemning Facebook. I'm not condemning those kinds of things in any way, shape, form, or manner. They're wonderful devices for communication. Diane and I are on Facebook, mainly so we can see pictures of grandbabies and grandkids and keep up with our families in this crazy world. I mean, when we were in Okinawa, the best form of communication was either $90 for a five-minute phone call, yay, or we would record on a blank little cassette tape, put it in the mail, and send it to them. You know, that was our form of communication. I mean, now we have the FaceTiming. We have all of those kinds of things, and wonderful, wonderful things. But they found the more time a person spends interacting with people only through the media, the more time they spend there, the less real personal interaction they have, and the more loneliness sets into their hearts and lives. More discouragement because they don't have the personal. We can never, ever allow anything else to replace the personal relationship, not only amongst ourselves. Yesterday was a great time of fellowship with a bunch of guys, but with our true and living God, the creator of the universe, and it is now all possible through Jesus Christ. He cherishes us that much. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, thank you so much for your word. Father, as we dive into it and we finish this beautiful, glorious sentence, Father, I pray that it would flood over our souls and our hearts and we would see your passion for us. But beyond that, that we would experience it. That we would be challenged by it. That we would be changed by it. That we would humbly yield to its truth. Oh, Father, how I pray that you would meet every need in each of our hearts. Oh, Father. Grow us in your grace. Call us to your side. Make your presence valid and real in our hearts and lives so that we truly cannot escape your great love. Lord, we just ask your hand of blessing during these few minutes together as we go through your word. Thank you again, for it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I invite you to turn in your Bibles again to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We had seen the wonders and the joyous wonders of the fact that we are cherished by God. Let me remind you of some New Testament verses of Scripture that really run that truth through our hearts. In 1 John chapter 4, we would read this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was revealed or manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us first and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins." Now, I know that's a big word, propitiation. Bottom line, what it means is that through his death, burial, and resurrection, he satisfied all of the holy requirements or desires of God on your behalf and my behalf. And as we accept that by faith, life changes. We become his child. And that's why our Lord says, you know, I only give you one commandment, and the second one is close to it, and that is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Two beautiful things, and that is because we are truly celebrating God's grace. We are cherished by God, and we have entered into that so that we as his children, being accepted into the beloved, being adopted as his children, we are celebrating. I want you to know and notice, if you would, in verse 6, how it started. I did not highlight this last week, but notice what it says. It says, to the praise of the glory of his what? Grace. Yeah. I want you to know, again, in the Greek, from verse 3 all the way down through verse 14, it's one sentence. And he starts here and he starts saying, to the praise of the glory of his grace. We will see that repeated two more times in different ways between here and the end of the sentence. Everything that God has done in providing for the relationship that we can have with him is that thought of to the praise of his glory, the glory of his grace. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. That just simply means getting what we don't deserve. Mercy is the opposite, not getting what we do deserve. Those little nutshell kind of definitions of the word that we have. But this is to the praise and glory of his grace. We are cherished. In other words, it brings glory to himself as you and I accept Christ and as we trust Christ and as we walk with Christ and as we reveal that we are Christ. Early on, after being saved, I would say, people say, are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. But you know what proves that? Is my union. How I walk in union with God. And so as we see this celebrating of God's grace, the first thing I would love for us to see this morning is that it comes through redemption. The glory of his grace provides redemption. Verse 7, notice what it says in verse 7. It says, in him, that is Jesus Christ, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Ah, his royal redemption, celebrating God's grace in redemption. Yeah, that's what you and I ought to be doing the very moment that we trust Christ as Savior, that we start celebrating him. It is his glorious redemption that has been brought to pass. He has provided it through forgiveness. Now, is there anybody here that was saved by the age of 6? Anybody here? All right. And you raise your hands with trepidation because you think I'm going to call on you. Well, I am. All right. I was in my 20s, I'll be honest. Now, so I'm going to pick on you. Okay. All right, Rachel. Was your forgiveness more or less than my forgiveness? Or are they the same? They're the same. By that, we mean it's complete. She was completely forgiven the very moment she trusted Christ as Savior. I was completely forgiven. Now, I had a lot more junk to deal with because I was older and I wasn't following anything after God. I was totally biblically illiterate at the time. In other words, I hadn't ever spent any time in this book or in a place where this book was magnified. I had no clue what it said, but I believed what they told me about Jesus Christ. And I realized I was making a mess of my life in my own strength. And so I trusted in his royal redemption. He did it for the praise of his glory, the praise of his grace, and according to his grace, and which he made abound towards us. That means it is full, it's complete, it's abounding, it's overflowing grace and forgiveness. Even as a child of God, I might run away from his grace, but I cannot escape it. It's overflowing. It's abundant. It's real. His love is the same thing. In his royal redemption, being purchased from the stranglehold of sin through his blood, I now have this wonderful, wonderful, burden-releasing thing called repentance. Now, Paul, for the folks in Rome, he goes, well, does that mean that I should sin so that God's grace could abound in my life? And it's a rhetorical question. And Paul goes, absolutely not. No way. Don't do that. To be the recipient of God's grace means I want to turn away from my sinful life and walk with him because it is abundant. And notice how verse 8 ends. In all wisdom and prudence, or with foresight of life. Things going on. You know, at Rocky Mountain we have this thought of that the pastors can only meet with a woman one-on-one, and it has to be in a very open place one time. And that's foresight because of the times we live in and everything else. That's foresight, just wanting to make sure nothing can go wrong. We can't go with a woman one-on-one other than our wife and our children, grandchildren, things like that, in a vehicle. You know, that's foresight. That's wisdom so that we remain blameless to the best of our ability. You know, this wisdom then gives you and I an opportunity to say, I probably shouldn't watch that show because it is filled with lust-filled things. That would be wisdom and forethought. The abundance of his royal redemption. He did it for the praise and glory of his grace. Psalm 130 says this, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him abundant redemption. The psalmist understood it to be purchased from the bondage, the shackles of sin. Turn your Bibles just ahead a few pages to Titus chapter 2. And as Paul is talking in this pastoral epistle to a young man by the name of Titus. Titus chapter 2. Now, in my Bible, at the top of the beginning of the chapter 2, it says the qualities of a sound church. And I want us to go down to verse 11. Notice what it says in verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Through who? Christ. Through the wonders of his word. Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself, to the praise of his glory, his own special people, zealous of good works. Therefore, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no one despise you. Titus, again, was a young man, and he was supposed to ordain elders on the island of Crete. And in the island of Crete, it was just filled with a bunch of guys that were really rough and worldly. You know, a bunch of drunkards, a bunch of, you know, womanizers probably. And he's saying, you got to teach the truth. You got to share the truth that they can be set free in the wonders of redemption. That complete forgiveness that both Rachel and I received, though it was at different ends of the spectrum, age-wise and lifestyle-wise. The wonders of his grace. And it's appeared to all men. In other words, right here in this room, you know, God's cherished desire would be that every single one of us enter into this relationship through repentance and salvation because he's done it for us. Wonderful. And then we become part of the body of Christ, accepted in the beloved. And I want you to know that that word beloved is agape, a form of agape. And it's because of the personal pronouns within the verse that declares he's talking about Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And it's a joy of that and the wonder of that. His royal redemption. Follow along with me, because not only should we be celebrating God's grace and promises in the wonders of his redemption, but also in his royal will. Look at verse 9 and following back in Ephesians chapter 1. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Now, what is that mystery of his will? Bottom line, it's just simply Jesus Christ crucified, risen again to bring salvation for the forgiving of sins, this redemption that he has been talking about, the fulfillment of his grace and mercy upon all people. And then he goes on to say this, I love this, that, verse 10, that in the dispensation and the fullness of times, he might gather together in one, in Christ, all things in Christ, both that are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In other words, this wonderful thought of within his will, he not only wants to reveal to us the mystery of salvation and the wonders of bringing Jew and Gentile together, that Christ indeed was the Messiah, and he has come now to create this assembly. What we've done today here, we have come together as a local assembly of believers. A local presence of the body of Christ. A local presence of a part of the bride of Christ. And how many of you ladies have been married or are married? Amen. How many of you had a formal service? Amen. You know, Diane and I did both. We weren't satisfied with the elopement thing. And so we had already scheduled the formal thing. Vietnam's going on, and so it's a crazy thing. But I realized as they had sent me home that I was going to have to say I do and climb in a car and drive away and get on a flight to go away. And so, which broke her heart. I told her, I've already got my tickets. When I got in the car, she began crying. And we went over to my brother's, who was in our wedding, as well as our sister-in-law, who was going to be in our wedding. And so she could try on the dress, and, you know, her bridesmaid dress. And they live in an upstairs apartment, and we came in. They saw Diane crying, what's wrong? And so we kind of blurted it out. We're getting married, and Rich is flying away. Well, before we got halfway up the stairs, they said, well, why don't you get married today? Now, believe it or not, we're only 18-year-olds, but it took them 3 hours to talk us into it. Go figure. But anyways, yeah, so we had the joy of both. And I want you to know, even though we were already married, that the very moment that Diane came around that corner in her white gown, I began crying. She was beautiful. How about the bride of Christ? Our beauty is going to be wrapped up in wanting to enjoy the praise and glory of his grace through redemption, as well as realizing what his will is for us. Recognizing we're a part of that body, wanting to reveal Christ within it, wanting to glorify him in everything. So it's in the mystery of Christ's coming. It is in this gathering and assembling of being set free, being one. It is his timing in the fullness. I love that. In the fullness of times that he might gather. Verse 11 goes on to say, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. This inheritance is guaranteed for us, bottom line. I know I don't deserve anything, but yet I know there's something there. There are rewards that are listed throughout the New Testament that you and I have the possibility of wonderfully receiving because we're walking with God and he is working through us, bringing glory to himself. It's an inheritance. You know, and I know that when I get to heaven, I'm just going to be thankful that I'm there, but I know there's going to be reward. Do I do things for reward? No, I do things for the glory of Christ. And that will bring about an inheritance. That means we're named in the will. Bottom line, that's what the book of Hebrews really emphasizes about being the testator. And the fact that we are named there because we have this relationship, wonderful relationship with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, and it's all according to his good pleasure and his will that we get to step into this again for his glory and the wonder of all that we have. I want to remind you of something we read in Colossians and we studied just a few weeks ago. In Colossians chapter 1, you would read this. I know I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Paul is saying, I'm glad. I'm in jail. I'm glad. I've been beaten. And fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the affections of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, for which I became a minister according to the stewardship of God, which was given to me by you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages, from generations, but now has been revealed to his saint. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles particularly, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ, or complete in Christ. You know, that should be the goal of every church and every pastor, every missionary, every aspect, to where we would together, co-labor together, so that in our spiritual growth, all of us would be growing to be revealed complete in Christ. It's his will. It's his desire. It is what he has called us to do in all that he has given us. And it's to the praise of his glory. In him we have obtained this inheritance. To the purpose of him who works all things to the counsel of his will. that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Now think about that. You and I bring glory to God in our trusting Christ as Savior. I love it to be in the presence of somebody who calls upon Christ to be their Savior, because at that very moment, I know there's a celebration going on in heaven. The angels are rejoicing. I'm sure the saints are just in awe of again, God accomplishing his great work in the hearts and lives of a wretched one who trusts Christ as Savior. And it is a part of his will to draw us to that and be a part of that. The last thing I would like for us to see this morning is this reality. Not only is it because of the royal redemption, but also his royal will, but now his royal authority or rule. Notice verses 13 and 14. It says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Ah. In whom also, having believed, place your faith, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Now, look at that. This culminates these last few verses and brings and ties all three thoughts together. You and I, because of our faith, we recognize that he has authority in our lives. He's the one that died for us. And we willingly and humbly yield to that in our lives. Before I was saved, I was a rebellious man. Believe it or not. I was also an angry man, believe it or not. Now, I'm sure Rachel was the most precious little princess angel her parents had ever seen, right? I'm sure, just like my three girls, she had moments of rebellion and stuff like that. And I don't mean to put anything in your life, but I know my girls. just how they could be. But now, he is Lord. A church cannot be a church if Jesus Christ is not the head of it. A pastor cannot shepherd the flock that God has entrusted to him if Christ is not the head of him. You and I cannot bring glory to the praise of his glory unless we walk within his truth. His truth is what really releases us from sin, but releases us to bring glory to him in life. And I want you to know, though, we've walked through trials and difficulties in our life. There is nothing, nothing more enjoyable than walking with God and having this journey of Christianity. I want you to know we live in a society that would call it boring. They would call it brainwashing. A matter of fact, when we got saved, Diane's older brother looked at me and said, man, you've been brainwashed. And I wanted him to know most passionately, no, I have not. I have been washed by the blood of Christ. And that's all I want you to know. Nothing has happened here. But what has happened here is based upon the truth of God's word. And he gives us security. You and I have been now sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Isn't that a great thing? Sealed until the day of redemption. Again, I go back to that Romans thought, well, does that mean I can sin to bring more glory to his grace? Paul would say, no, absolutely not. Don't be a knucklehead. You know, God wants us to walk with him passionately in the wonders of that grace. If you and I are going to truly celebrate that grace, we're just going to passionately pursue him to the best of our ability, committedly, consistently. And that consistency usually grows in time. I know with our kids who trusted Christ at a younger age, it took time for them to get the whole picture of what it was to walk with Christ. Yeah, and they still struggle, though they're in their 40s and 30s today. You know, guess what? Dad still struggles. Mom still struggles. But yet we walk and we have this thought of wanting to bring glory to his holy name because of all that he has so graciously and freely given us in Christ our Lord. As we look at this, we have security in the Holy Spirit. And yesterday we looked at, as men, we began talking about the fact that there is a spiritual battle that goes on. You know, as I shared last week, and I'll repeat it again this week, Satan hates God. He does not want any life to bring glory to his praise, or praise to his glory at all. He doesn't. And he will strive to set roadblocks in your life and my life so that we don't. I want you to know, as a pastor, there have been open doors before me that I have not walked through. And I've walked away going, why didn't I do that? Knucklehead. The next time an open door was, I pleaded to the Spirit of God for the boldness to walk through the open door to do it. Guess what one of those was? Be the pastor of Ellicott Calvary Chapel campus. I at first thought, no, I'm too old. Leave it to a young pup. Yeah, not me. Yeah. But what are we going to do? This is a profound passage of Scripture. And again, this whole letter is a snapshot of Christian life. The calling that you have and I have to trust Christ, to trust his word, and to walk with him. I remember reading another article of a new safety device that is now being used in the Gulf of Mexico on all of the oil rigs. Now, I do not know if this shows up in the Mark Wahlberg movie. I haven't seen the Mark Wahlberg movie. If you have, you can tell me later whether or not it shows up in it. But what they've devised there, that any time there's a massive fire or a hurricane that comes through the Gulf now, they have created this wonderful sphere or bus where everybody is supposed to run to. It's called a safety capsule. And so all the men and women working on these rigs, if they know they can't do anything more, their life is in jeopardy, they're supposed to get inside this capsule. And once everybody is strapped into their seats and the door, the port hatch is closed, they launch it. And literally it goes sliding down a major tube and it gets launched out into the Gulf, out into the sea. Now, because they're all harnessed in, the hitting of the water, they're protected from it. And because if it's a hurricane, which it has been used in already, because it is a hurricane, they are buoyant. I'm sure all of them got seasick. But they're buoyant in it, and it has a beacon until a massive ship can come and save them. You and I, we live in a tumultuous world. It's crazy upside down. But you and I ought to celebrate the security that we have in knowing Christ as Savior, because we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And again, it is his work. And again, it is to the praise of his glory. It isn't anything we deserve, but it is exactly what we need. Where are you? as I think through this passage of Scripture, you know, there's a couple of questions I'd like you to ponder. You might want to jot them down. They're going to be on the screen. But how do you reveal God's grace in your own personal walk with Him? How do I do it? I pray you see and hear and watch vividly God's grace in my life. Because I know I have nothing and I deserve nothing and I have absolutely, positively earned nothing. It has all been through and a product of His grace. And if you and I are going to love one another as we have been loved, we need to walk in the grace of God. Consistently there. The second question I'd ask you is, what do you need to enhance your true identity? We've been building on this. You know, your identity is you are a child of God. Is there something that needs to be happening in your life where you've been kind of shortchanging yourself and you haven't been committed or consistent in doing? You want Christ revealed in you, but you know, it might be something like just plain spiritual growth, getting plugged in. You know, Paul told young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're not going to go there, and we looked at the first few passages, verses as guys yesterday, where we receive this from the truth of God and we pass it on to men who will pass it on to other men. We looked at that. But farther down, he says, now listen, walk with me with those who walk with God of a pure heart. That's growth. That's wanting our identity to be truly that we are cherished by God, that we are part of it. It might be repentance. Maybe you're walking in sin today. Yeah, it just boils down to repentance. Repent, repent, repent. It will always boil down to commitment and consistency. Your life, my life. Third question I'd like to ask you is, there is a fact that all Christians are children of God. If you are truly a Christian, you are a child of God. All God's people said? The question, how does that fact impact your relationship with them? Other Christians, how does it impact it? How should it? God has never, guys, I want you specifically to hear this. If it steps on your toes, that's okay. I don't care. God has never called a single one of us to be a lone ranger for His glory. That's a bottom line truth of this book. You and I are part of a body of believers, a family of God, the bride of Christ. I don't know what your need is today. If you need to know Christ as Savior and be redeemed, set free from the bondage of sin, trust Him today. You know, there'll be a prayer team up here. If you just want to walk in the security of Christ better, there'll be a prayer team up here. If you just have burdens, you're just walking through the horrible hurricane of life and want to know that you are okay in the palm of Jesus Christ, come for prayer. Come for prayer. Let's stand and close our time and pray. Our Father and our God, I thank you so much for your word. The wonderful truth of it. The reality of it. Father, I know there are moments that I fail doing things to the praise of your glory. my hope, my passion, my desire is as long as I have breath that I would bring praise to your holy name. What you have accomplished in salvation and bringing this all to pass through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, amazes me. And I know, you know, that there are moments where I battled worthiness, and today I know I'm still not worthy. But yet you did it to the praise of your glory. Father, how I pray that there would not be one who would leave this place today without trusting Christ as Savior, just simply calling out to you with their whole heart, pleading for forgiveness and placing their faith in Christ the Lord. For the rest of us, Lord, we know where we are in our walk with you. Lord, how I pray that you would just grow us in your grace and use us for your glory to be the light and love of Christ in this community and the surrounding communities so that people would see and want to know the reason of our hope. Father, as you move in the hearts and lives of us here, Lord, I pray we would make a commitment to you and to only you to walk that way. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Not be all else to me.
So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass or whatever lies before me, let me be singing with the evening shout. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never. Sing like never before. Show my soul. I worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to. Your name is great and your heart is kind. In all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Sing like never before. Show my soul. I worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is fading, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore.
Sing forevermore.
So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. See like never before. Oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship his holy name.
Sing like never before.
Sing like never before. Show my soul. I worship your holy name.
Sing, I worship your holy name.
I worship your holy name. Yes, I worship your holy name.
Lord, we thank you so much that we can sing to you, that we can praise you, and we can worship you. What a privilege it is that we have, God. Lord, may we be found more and more rooted in you and what you've done for us, Lord. God, thank you that you've made us your sons and daughters, Lord. Thank you that you predestined us before the foundations of the earth to know you and to enjoy you, Lord, to bring glory to your name. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful week in the Lord.